Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Haya Pinjwani. The AP's Joe Futterman explains why an agreement to end the fighting in Gaza is not yet a done deal.
President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have agreed upon a plan to end the nearly two-year war in the Gaza Strip. Their announcement at the White House does not mean an immediate end to the fighting. Hamas still needs to study this proposal and give a response. If it rejects the plan, we will see a continuation and a return to this brutal, ongoing, grinding war that has devastated Gaza. But if Hamas accepts, there is a real potential to transform the region.
President Trump and Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu say they've agreed on a plan to end the Gaza war. The president calls it potentially one of the great days in civilization.
I think we're beyond very close.
But not quite there.
We have to get Hamas.
That's now the key. A source says the plan has been given to Hamas negotiators who are reviewing it in good faith. If they do not approve,
then Israel will finish the job.
And the president says Netanyahu will have full U.S. backing. As they await Hamas's answers, displaced Palestinians like Mohammed Halabi are not holding their breath. He says as the war has destroyed them, they've been hearing for 2 years there might be good news tomorrow or the day after, and they no longer believe anyone. Sagar Magani, Washington.
There could be a partial federal government shutdown starting tonight. Speaking with reporters yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said there are big differences between the two parties.
It's up to the Republicans whether they want a shutdown or not. We've made to the president some proposals. Our Republican leaders will have to talk to them about them, but ultimately he's the decision maker.
The U.S. government's on the brink of a shutdown, the first in almost 7 years, if the Senate does not pass a House measure to extend federal funding.
We have very large differences on health care and on their ability to undo whatever budget we agree to.
After a closed-door White House meeting Monday, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Democrats won't support an agreement unless Republicans extend expiring tax credits for health insurance.
Their bill has not one iota of Democratic input.
Republican Senate Leader John Thune is pressing Democrats to vote for the funding bill and take up the debate on tax credits later.
This is purely and simply hostage-taking.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says Republicans don't want taxpayers to have to cover the costs of health insurance for people who are in the country illegally.
They want to restore that because we got rid of it.
After the meeting, President Trump posted an altered video of Schumer with House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries in a cartoon sombrero and a mustache. Jennifer King, Washington.
We're learning more in the aftermath of Sunday's deadly church attack in Michigan. The AP's Jennifer King.
More details are emerging after a man crashed a pickup truck into a chapel of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc, Michigan, Sunday morning. Authorities say Thomas Jacob Sanford began shooting at worshipers and started a fire. Congregants and nurses who worked at a nearby hospital ran in and out of the building. In the end, an officer with Michigan's Department of Natural Resources and another local police officer chased Sanford down and killed him in an exchange of gunfire. Officials say Sanford was a 40-year-old former Marine sergeant who served in Iraq. Chris Johns, a council candidate in Burton, told MLive.com he met Sanford while introducing himself to voters last week. John says that Sanford was pleasant at first, but then turned the conversation to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and became unhinged. Johns says he became increasingly uncomfortable as Sanford told him he had lived in Utah and repeatedly described Mormons as the Antichrist. I'm Jennifer King.
This is AP News. A two-time finals MVP and his team are speaking publicly for the first time amid their NBA investigation into their business practices.
None of us did no wrongdoing. That's it.
Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers are denying wrongdoing in response to the NBA's investigation into his alleged improper business dealings.
I'm gonna read headlines. I do conspiracies, theories.
Leonard spoke Monday for the first time publicly on the matter after a report earlier this month alleged the team violated violated the league's salary cap rules, involving a $28 million endorsement contract between Leonard and the now bankrupt California-based sustainability services company called Aspiration Fund Advisor, LLC. Clippers President of Basketball Operations, Lawrence Frank.
We will cooperate with this investigation and let this process play out, but we are eager for the whole truth, the whole picture, to be revealed.
I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
I'm Haya Panjwani, AP News.
Vice President Vance says the U.S. is considering selling Tomahawk cruise missiles to Ukraine. Vance tells Fox News Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky asked for the missiles, which have a range of about 1,000 miles, which would then put Moscow within range of Ukrainian forces.
There are no such things as sanctuaries.
Also on Fox News, Trump administration Ukraine envoy Keith Kellogg says no decision's been made on whether to provide Tomahawks to Kyiv.
That's going to be up to the president to do it.
At the Kremlin, spokesman Dmitry Peskov brushed off the Tomahawk prospects, saying neither they nor any other missile will be able to change the situation on the front lines in Ukraine. The Pentagon confirms 200 National Guard troops have been called into duty in Portland, Oregon. A spokesman says the troops will serve 60 days to protect immigration enforcement and other personnel. Over the weekend, President Trump called Portland war-ravaged and said he's authorizing full force if necessary. State leaders object.
This is not necessary. And I believe it's unlawful.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says she told the president as much yesterday. State Attorney General Dan Rayfield is suing in federal court.
In America, we don't use our United States military on our own citizens.
The deployment's similar to one 3 months earlier in Los Angeles, but on a smaller scale. It does not appear the Trump administration, at least for now, is sending active duty troops to Portland, as it did to California. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Federal prosecutors say that three activists opposed to President Donald Trump's immigration raids in Los Angeles had been indicted on charges of illegally doxing a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent. The U.S. Attorney's Office says that the women followed the agent home, live-streamed their pursuit, and then posted the agent's address online. The defendants are each charged with one count of conspiracy and one count of publicly disclosing the personal information of a federal agent. Doxing is typically a malicious practice that involves gathering private or identifying information and releasing it online without the person's permission, usually in an attempt to harass, threaten, shame, or exact revenge. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
DAR Global announces a deal with the Trump Organization. London real estate developer DAR Global says it plans to launch a Trump Plaza in Jeddah. It will feature residences, service departments, office space, and townhouses. The $1 billion project will be the second Trump-branded development in Saudi Arabia. Trump Tower Jeddah was launched in December. Trump's company struck many real estate licensing deals overseas before Trump first became president in 2017, including hotels and residential towers in Canada, Dubai, Mexico, India, and Turkey. The Trump Organization is a collection of companies controlled by Trump's children. I'm Mike Hempen.
A man from Florida's Gulf Coast has been charged with animal cruelty after allegedly killing, cooking, and eating two of his pet peacocks. The 61-year-old was arrested last week on a third-degree felony charge. According to the sheriff's office, he admitted to killing the birds out of spite because his neighbor kept feeding them. He even wrote a letter threatening to continue killing his peacocks if she didn't stop. And while he was being taken to jail, he told deputies that he would kill all of his pet peacocks upon release to prevent anyone from taking them. Austin police have outlined how a new, rapidly unfolding DNA and ballistics evidence trail led them to declare a dead man as the likely perpetrator in the killing of four teenage girls at an Austin yogurt shop in 1991. Officials say there was no known connection between the new suspect and the two men previously convicted in the killings, one of whom was briefly sent to death row. Barbara Wilson, mother of Jennifer and Sarah Harbison, says she is deeply grateful.
It has been so long, and all we ever wanted for this case was the truth. We never wanted anyone to go to jail or be charged with anything that they did not do. Vengeance was never it. It was always the truth.
The girls were bound, gagged, and shot in the head. The building was then set on fire. Google's YouTube has agreed to pay $24.5 million to settle a lawsuit by President Donald Trump over his 2021 account suspension following the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Court documents say that $22 million of the settlement will be contributed to the Trust for the National Mall, and the rest will go to other plaintiffs, including the American Conservative Union. Google is the latest big tech company to settle lawsuits brought by Trump. In January, Meta Platforms agreed to pay $25 million to settle a lawsuit over his 2021 suspension from Facebook. Elon Musk's ex agreed to a similar lawsuit brought against the company, then known as Twitter, for $10 million. The filing says the settlement does not constitute an admission of liability. Google has confirmed the settlement, but has declined to make any further comment. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Seth Zutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks edged a bit higher on Wall Street as several heavyweight tech companies recovered some of the ground they lost last week. The S&P 500 rose 0.3% Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average edged up 68 points. It's about 0.1%. The NASDAQ Composite rose 0.5%. Among big tech companies, Amazon rose 1.1%. Microsoft added about 0.6%. Both posted losses last week. Oil companies sank along with the price of crude. ExxonMobil slipped 2.6%. Chevron gave back 2.5%. Treasury yields fell in the bond market. Seth Zutel, New York.
Electronic Arts, the video game maker behind Madden NFL, Battlefield, The Sims, FC25, and other popular titles, is being taken private in a deal worth $55 billion. If it closes as expected in 2027, it could become the largest ever buyout funded by private equity firms. Silver Lake Partners, along with Saudi Arabia's PIF and Affinity Partners, run by President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, will pay EA stockholders $210 per share. The Saudi sovereign wealth fund has been taking stakes in many video game publishers, and Silver Lake is part of a recently announced venture to take over TikTok in the U.S. Electronic Arts was founded in 1982 by former Apple employee William Tripp Hawkins and is led by CEO Andrew Wilson. The company will remain headquartered in Redwood City, California. Bad Bunny will headline the Super Bowl halftime show in 2026, bringing Latin trap and Puerto Rico's reggaeton swagger to the NFL's biggest stage. The NFL, Apple Music, and Rock Nation made the announcement. The superstar, born Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio, said in a statement, "What I'm feeling goes beyond myself." He says, "It's for those who came before me and ran countless yards so I could come in and score a touchdown. This is for my people, my culture, and our history." With 3 Grammys and 12 Latin Grammys, he's one of the world's most streamed artists and has become a global ambassador for Latin music. He drew hundreds of thousands of fans to his residency performances in Puerto Rico and will host Saturday Night Live on October 4th. I'm Jennifer King.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. The Dolphins held off the Jets for their first win of the season in a 27-21 victory on Monday Night Football, but lost Tyreek Hill in the process as the star receiver was carted off and hospitalized with a serious left leg injury. Miami QB Tua Tagovailoa tossed a pair of touchdowns to help salvage the night.
It's a great feeling that we feel tonight. Obviously, when you win, you know, that's in a way one of the best deodorants.
The Broncos routed the Bengals 28-3 in the late game. Giants owner John Mara announced he was recently diagnosed with cancer. Mara said in a statement released by the team that he has been following his doctor's treatment plan. The 70-year-old did not disclose what form of cancer he has. He reported feeling strong and optimistic and added he expects to remain active with the team as president and CEO while being treated. Mara was at the Giants practice facility last week when rookie Jackson Dart was formally named starting quarterback. The Mara family has owned the storied NFL franchise since its founding in 1925. Major League Baseball, active managerial wins leader Bruce Bochy has been fired by the Rangers 2 seasons after winning the World Series. The Giants fired manager Bob Melvin, and the Twins parted ways with skipper Rocco Baldelli earlier Monday.
I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to play the game that I love for another season.
LeBron James is ready for his unprecedented 23rd NBA season.
I'm excited about today.
The four-time champion and NBA all-time scoring leader spoke Monday at the Lakers Media Day as he hopes to guide LA to its second title in 8 seasons with the team.
I'm excited about it to see what we can do.
The 40-year-old James also addressed the elephant in the room, his impending retirement.
Don't know when the end is, but I know it's a lot sooner than later.
James made history last season when he and eldest son Bronny James became the first father-son duo to play together. He isn't ruling out the chance to play with his youngest son Bryce, now a freshman at the University of Arizona.
He has his own timeline. I got my timeline, and I don't know if they quite match up, but we'll see.
I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Rescue workers, police, and soldiers dug through the night, pulling out weak and injured survivors more than 8 hours after the collapse at the Al-Qosini Islamic boarding school in the East Java town of Sidu Ajo. They saw additional bodies, indicating the death toll was likely to rise. A team runs oxygen and water to students trapped in the unstable concrete rubble as they desperately worked to free survivors on Tuesday, a day after the structure fell. As well as those who died, more than 100 have been injured, with dozens presumed still in the rubble. Rescue efforts were temporarily suspended at 10:15 a.m. local time as the collapsed concrete shook suddenly. Work resumed later. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
At least one man has been killed in Cuba as Tropical Storm Imelda and Hurricane Humberto threaten the Bahamas and Bermuda. Authorities in the Bahamas have closed majority of the schools following mandatory evacuations for some islands as Tropical Storm Imelda drops heavy rain and unleashes flooding in the northern Caribbean. Meanwhile, Hurricane Humberto churned in open waters nearby, which forecasters said caused Imelda to abruptly turn to the east-northeast away from the southeastern United States coast. Waves between 3 and 6 feet are hitting county beaches in Florida. Palm Beach County Ocean Rescue Public Information Officer Nat Spur says they're expecting rough surf and gusty wind conditions for a while.
Humberto was a Category 5 hurricane over the weekend. It's since been downgraded to a 4, but we have Imelda, which is much closer to us, and they're both going to be moving north up through Palm Beach County, and we're going to expect these conditions for at least a week.
I'm Haya Pinjwani.
A senior North Korean diplomat is reiterating that his country will not give up its nuclear weapons despite numerous demands by the international community to do so. Speaking at the UN General Assembly meeting of world leaders, North Korea's Vice Foreign Minister Kim Sung-kyung characterized his country's nuclear weapons as crucial to keeping a balance of power with South Korea. Kim amplified his country's long-standing complaints about U.S.-led military exercises with South Korea and Japan and complained about a growing threat of aggression from Washington and its allies. South Korea says the exercises are necessary to counter North Korea's growing nuclear and missile threats. Numerous U.N. Security Council resolutions have demanded that the North stop building nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Earlier this month, Ethiopia inaugurated the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, or GERD, Africa's largest dam to boost the economy. The nearly $5 billion construction, located on the Blue Nile near Ethiopia's border with Sudan, will produce more than 5,000 megawatts. Addis Ababa says the dam has helped lessen floods that have recently hit Sudan, but speculation rises over whether it has actually caused the deluges. Khartoum on Saturday issued a flood alert citing rising water levels along the Nile River's two main tributaries, the Blue and White Nile. Sudanese authorities maintained the alert on Monday. The vote was seen as a choice between East and West. European leaders praised Moldova for reaffirming its commitment to a Western path and potential EU membership, the governing pro-EU party securing 50% of the vote. Moldova, a former Soviet republic, has been a geopolitical battleground between Russia and Europe, but has embraced the Western path. Leaders say, though, the election faced alleged Russian interference, including cyber attacks and disinformation campaigns. Landlocked between war-torn Ukraine and EU member Romania, Moldova was a Soviet republic until it proclaimed independence in 1991. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.